land of the New.
Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. His purpose. Amen.
Who has not been called, stand up. Stand up for
you. Get
Wayne? Anyway, I've been late. All right, let me just read this, guys. If you were told that God was going to call you something today, if you were told that God was going to call you something today, would you be excited or scared? Would you let the call go through voicemail, or would you answer right away? The truth is, the Bible says God has already called. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things God work for the good of those who love Him, who have been called to His purpose." Now, it's not the same as a phone call, except that it is a message directly to you from God. It is personal, one to one. The call of God in your life mission. The call of God is your life mission, the one He gave you when He created you. But don't confuse your calling with your career. Maybe you're called to be a teacher, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be in a classroom. Or you may be called to be a writer, but that doesn't mean you're working in journalism or even write novels. Your calling is far more significant than any job. It is all-encompassing mission that rests at the center of your life and should influence everything you do. Throughout the Bible, God calls people to fulfill their special mission. Such people as Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and Nehemiah and Mary and Peter and Paul, and they each had a unique role that supported God's plan to redeem humanity. And the Bible says that God has called you to an equal important task. Paul says in Ephesians 1:18, "My prayer is that the light will flood your heart, and that you will be understanding the hope that He was giving to you when God chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessing that will be yours together with all of God's people. The greatest of those glorious blessings is your intimate relationship with God. Focus on Him and He will talk to you about your calling." What have you found difficult about discovering your calling? And how would you explain the difference between a calling and a job? What have you found difficult about discovering your calling? Yes, sir. I'll let you raise your hand.
Cash plans. And lactose. And do you have any muffins?
Taking the first step.
Amen.
And I have the problem. He speaks, I go. I've learned to listen.
I think when you first get saved, you need to expose yourself to a lot of different ministries and volunteer and find exactly what direction God wants you to walk in. He can steer a moving car, but a parked one's hard to steer, you know what I mean? So once you get moving in a forward direction, serving Him, He can put you in the right path that you're supposed to be on. That is your calling.
Pagan bread.
Amen.
So that when you step out, He'll use the Holy Spirit to tell you it's all right. It's all right.
Exactly.
Amen. You'll know.
Amen.
He's a light unto your path.
I remember when I first got saved, I was at a church and I kept bugging the pastor, What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Matter of fact, you see me coming down the road, the aisle, said, you go the other way. He said, man, go bounce in a holy shelter. So I went. I didn't want to. But I went.
There you go.
And there it is, you know. And it wasn't the first thing that I did. You know, I did a lot of things in there, but, you know, that I went there and I felt that that, you know, was it. And now I didn't want it, you know. It's not something that I get up in the morning and I went, oh, wee, you know. Yeah. But that was a calling, and I felt it, and I went, you know. But I did other things too. But I like that you say, you know, you can't. What was that? You can't steer a parked car.
Yeah, it's hard to steer a parked car.
Hard to steer, yeah. And then that's where now I fall back
home.
So my question is, what is your calling? You know, it's really interesting because most of the people, all the people that are here are men that've been in. Involved in ministry and accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior for years. Now, what is your calling? What's your calling?
My calling is to serve God.
In which way?
In whatever capacity. Right now, it's been in prison ministry. It's been in the adult and in youth. But now that I landed down here and how I ended up here, I cannot tell you honestly. Other than we had a relative down here, but down here my calling has been the homeless ministry, not in St. Pete or not in Largo, but in Clearwater. Mm-hmm. And how I ended up there, don't ask, but we started out with about probably serving 25, 30 people, and I'm up to about 80 bags we pass out every week. And my wife says, well, the warp keeps growing. How are we going to continue this ministry? I said, right here, Jesus, God will lead us and God will provide whatever we need. And so far, I know without a doubt, He will.
So your call is to serve the homeless. And when you say right now, you know, when God gave, he gave these illustrations here that of Moses and Noah and all these individuals, they had a specific call. And that when we were created, even before we were born, God placed inside of us a call. This is what I want you to do. So, you know, and most of us walk around like this and not what that's your calling. You know, what's your calling?
But I think sometimes we get that so wrapped up in our minds that we don't want to test or do other things. And I think in the scripture it talks about not just your calling, but it also talks about talent. And gifts, and it's not one gift, but it says it's a plural thing. And most people say, well, my gift is I'll pick on him, music. My gift's music. Well, I don't think God has given us one gift. I think He's given us another gift. He has is He's a mechanic, and he takes care of Christian people. And, you know, we have more than one gift, and that's what we use, and we need to tie that in with the talent, or with the calling.
Yeah, but there's a predominance of, where is it in Romans it talks about particular gifts? It's also in 1 Corinthians 12,
yeah.
Where it has, I think, seven gifts, and it talks about how it's an impartation. I'll take my darling, Samantha. Thank you. And, in Corinthians, I know it talks about a gift of wisdom, a gift of knowledge, a gift of discerning of spirits, interpretation, tongues, seven gifts. And it talks about the body ministry, how you know, one is not more important than the other, but together as a team, we can work as a team.
Yeah.
And then talents are different. And, you know, I believe I have been given a gift of helps. Okay.
There you go.
And, and when it's listed, and the Hebrew word is ayir, and it's interesting because a friend of mine had carved a plaque in Hebrew, and there it says, you know, none of us here would be able to read it, but you flip it over on the back and it says ayir. Oh, okay, gift of help, you know. Because you look at those funny lines that the Hebrews make and you go, what the heck is that? And yet, what an interesting thing that I don't think that has ever changed. Now, he probably gave that to me 30 plus years ago. I'm still doing the same thing. And
that's, you know, like when we studied years ago and learned that we have, like you just said, and I'm concurring with what you said, that we all have a resident gift, you know, and that is the one gift that God has placed in us. And then you may other gifts, like you might say helps or this or that, you know. And the thing is that we go, you know, why am I here? Well, you know, God created us and he put us here for a purpose. And so there's a question in here that, you know, it says, what have you found difficult in finding your purpose? And so let me ask you, you know, at random, what's your purpose?
Well, I was going to say, one way that probably a lot of Christians find it difficult to find their purpose is basically Satan just kind of getting into some of the churches and just having them pick and choose verses. And the biggest one is just picking and choosing Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 for you are saved by grace through faith, and this not from yourselves, is the gift of God, not from works, so that no one can boast. Because I don't know how many churches will say that, leaving off verse 10, which
you're
says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
Roy.
For good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do.
Yes.
So a lot of
too many of you guys.
You're saved by grace. You don't need to do anything. You don't have the good works that God created you for. You don't have to worry about doing because you're saved by grace. And a lot of people are left
Say that again. Say that again. Back up a little bit because I got just.
Basically, they leave it at being, you're saved by grace, but not state pretty much teaching people that, yeah, we're saved by grace, but our faith is displayed by our good works. And so they just leave it at being saved by grace and that they don't need to be doing anything else, and which probably leads to a lot of Christians who might think, or a lot of people who might think they're saved, but they haven't had that change and their faith isn't being expressed through their works because they're not taught that they need to do their works, which is their purpose.
Amen. I like that.
But the book of James exemplifies that purpose. You know, faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
So,
but a lot of the churches that focus primarily on 2, 8, and 9 are the ones that basically try and use, especially a lot of the King James only churches will try and use the way punctuation and stuff is used in James to make it, to make James basically making it kind of a rhetorical argument of saying someone might say this. So James isn't really, to where they'll say James isn't really saying that you need to do works. And I've actually seen preaching on the internet from some of these King James only independent fundamental Baptist preachers talking about trying to put together James and Ephesians, where basically the way you really need to look at it is James is talking about how you should be living before men, expressing your faith, where Ephesians is more you're standing before God, where before God your faith is through his gift, where James, you're basically expressing out your faith by what you're doing.
Yeah, but they should be one and the same. if it's, I mean, really, who would be?
Amen.
That's the one.
Yeah, but can you see Alan's heart without him doing anything? Can you just see what is inside Alan's heart? Not basing it on anything he does.
Well, I can't see nothing, you know.
All right, that's but then
what he does, and what
and
he
that's
proclaims.
What James, and that's the difference between James and Ephesians. James is saying for people to see that you're a Christian, pretty much, it's seeing what you're doing. For God to see that you're a Christian, it's God knowing your heart and basically saving you through His gift.
Right. Well, that's great, well, and fine and good. But have you ever lied even to yourself? I'm never gonna do that. Oh,
but you know what? God knows you're gonna. He already knows you're gonna do it, and He's ready to forgive you as soon as you realize.
Really? Oh man, I failed again.
That's a key thing.
Love.
That in the minute grace. You say that you're never, that's a key thing that you know that you're gonna do it. We know that you're gonna do it. You may say no, 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 no. But you know, God called you, God appointed you, God's going to get you in that direction. But see, the thing is that many of us that are in church today, they have accepted Christ and all that, so they become part of a membership of a church. But you know, and that's okay, but you know, but what's the rest of the story? So they go there, they plant themselves, and they help every now and then to do something, but you God still placed a calling. You know, I mean, I think that was one of the most, the first things that, when I was starting to go to church, where they had those, you know, those things that test, you know, what are your spiritual gifts? And so if we don't know what our spiritual gifts are, how are you going to work on it, you know? I mean, you go to a vocex, and before you, you want to make, you know, they give you an aptitude test or a test to determine what you're good at. Like when I went, I was good working with my hands. And other people, you know, have different, you know, gifts within them. And so, what is yours? And so when we go to church and we sit at church and we're not part of a ministry and we're not a part of what God is doing, and it's not good enough that you're giving your tithe, if you give your tithe. And what are you doing with what God gave you? And the point is, and those are gifts that God has given us to do. And what are we doing? You know, Elsie's job, that's a job. So he does mechanical work and he likes playing around with cars and stuff like that. But is that his ministry? Is that the call that we have? And we could delude our minds, and what we what we're doing is our call. That's a gift. That's a job. But you know, what is your call? And the point is, and we walk around with, what is our call? What did God call you to do?
And that can change. You can, and your reader says, you know, the jobs are like a pastor, a teacher, you know, all of these different jobs. And I've always believed that if I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit, I can operate in any one of those jobs as He needs me to.
Yeah.
I'm not a full-time pastor.
Right.
But I could be a pastor to somebody who I've taken under my wing.
Yeah.
I'm not an evangelist all the time, but guess what? I drive Uber, that's my job. Yeah. Johnny Appleseed in the back seat. Yeah. I'm planting seeds back there.
Yeah.
And then I'm letting it go, turning it over to God. You know,
there's such a freedom in that too.
Yeah.
Because you're not obligated.
Right.
It's, you know, the verse, I don't know where it is, I think it's in Romans, that if you serve willingly.
Right.
If you give generously. You know, there's a freedom in the gift that God didn't give us a gift to be burdened.
Yeah.
You know, He gave us a gift for freedom.
To help you.
And then to allow God to work that gift, you know.
But some people like to, some people get hung up. You're like, you know, I've been called to be an evangelist. I've been called to be a, my wife's got a nephew. He swears he's a prophet. You know, and I'm thinking, well, I've known him for 20-something years and none of his prophecy have come true yet.
Yeah. Let's get some stones to practice.
That's what my wife said. It's good that he hasn't been stoned yet. I said, that's because we live in a civilized world, so to speak.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, and some people get hung up on the title and on the job.
True.
I'm a bishop. You know? I mean, I've heard some churches where they've got 5 or 6 bishops in the church. But
so what
getting with the church, with the church.
No pawn.
There's two. Yeah. Yeah, right. There's two things, and again, like he was saying.
Is he?
You know, James was talking, you know, more or less physically to men, and Ephesians is talking spiritually, and churches are the same way. We say church, but church, like you said, a body gathers in a building. That building, that's a church. But the Bible says the church is the bride of Jesus. And that's all Christians, not one building. We have to keep that in mind. Karen Spiros used to say, we got to remember, none of us are perfect. And, you know, we go to different churches and everybody's got a little bit different. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. And she goes, there's no perfect church. She said, if I ever find one to walk in there, it won't be perfect anymore. You know, she said, you got to realize that these, we have to, we have to turn, what do we call it, confusion?
Into chaos?
No, we turn confusion into God and say, Jesus, take care of this, you know?
You know, and
we can make room here for you.
There's a thing, there is no retirement in the kingdom. But you know, just because you got older and this and that, that maybe you can't go out and do this or do that or whatever, but there is no retirement. You know, you talk about spiritual fathers that is needed within the body. And, you know, some of these older guys, you know, and, man, they got so much weird. Man, just sit down. Take them out to lunch and sit down with them and listen to the things that they've done.
You did that?
You? You know, because we look at them and we minimize the work that God has done in through them, and when we look at him. This guy used to have hair. Now he's bald. No. And so we don't know what he actually looked like. We only see what he looks at now. But you know, but when you sit down and talk to some of these older guys, old timers, ladies and stuff, and the miracles and the signs and wonders and the things that they've done in ministry throughout the years. Oh my God, that's why, you know, the missionary, when they, you know, the housing when they had over there.
Yeah.
Some of those, some of those guys that went through there, if you actually sat down and listened to them, man, what encouragement it is. And you know, and my question is, what have you done with what God has given you? God has given us all a call, all a ministry, but are we obedient in what God called us to do? Are we, you know, and the purpose of all that was to win souls for the kingdom of God, you know? I mean, and I don't know, you could call, some people will say that God doesn't take numbers. I don't believe that. You know, when the guys with the talents, they, you know, tell the last guy, you unfaithful, grateful, whatever you are, and you know, you could have put it in the bank if you would have got you would have got interest. But what have we done? Who have we discipled? Who have we ministered to? Who have we encouraged?
Who's keeping track?
God is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
I don't feel that way.
Well, I know you don't feel that
you
way.
You can't take it to him and say, this is what I did, this is what to go to heaven.
No. You're going
to
go there and he's going to tell you what you did.
He's going to already know what's in your heart.
He's going to tell you what you did wrong and what you did right.
Your heart motivation.
You think there are
you're going to tell what's in your heart.
What? Yeah.
I got no accounting system like God's.
Yeah. I like say
heart.
That again.
You think IRS is keeping track of you? Ain't nothing like us counting.
He is keeping. You know
everything.
There are people
hairs on our head.
Then it's got a big eraser when you repent that's on the head.
The blood of Jesus covers us.
Every time that pops up, Jesus stands up and said, Paid for.
See if forgiveness paid it all.
Yeah, but you know, but even with that, you said the blood that covers it all. We can't use that as a scapegoat.
No,
because
for a reason,
but
the Jews did.
No, pardon me.
The Jews did.
I know.
The scapegoat.
Yeah.
I mean, what a picture to lay the sins of a nation on one, and that's exactly what Jesus did.
Yeah. Well, that was types and shadows.
Oh, fantastic!
That was the lamb they sent out.
Well, yeah.
Jesus was the lamb. You know?
Awesome. You know, when you forget that. I don't want to serve God out of obligation. I want to serve Him out of love.
Yeah.
You know, and when you can tell that difference when you're touching people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And as an example, and as a chaplain visiting elderly people, nobody visits them. Nobody.
What?
They are literally called the forgotten people. And you can see why, it opens doors not only for their hearts, but your heart. Because you feel a compassion, you know, that, listen, would you like a visit if you were laying in the nursing home for 3 years and nobody came to visit you? What? Somebody cares? I mean, there used to be a ministry called Somebody Cares, Tampa Bay or something. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And you have no idea. You have no idea the effect that it has. You really don't. And that's the beauty of it. Because you know what? When I get to heaven and God says, and opens up the book of remembrance according to Malachi 3:16, and it's recorded what we've done in the Father's name, because the Father sent Jesus to teach us to do things. And you know what? Have you ever been reminded of something that happened a decade or two or three ago, and you go, wow, yeah, I was involved in that. I was doing that. And you totally, God remembers.
Yeah.
And so keep sowing those seeds, keep planting, because the night cometh when you cannot, when you won't be able to. You'll be sitting in a nursing home.
Where nobody visits.
Nobody visits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've seen in that what you're talking about. Most of the time, the people that don't have the visitors, their families are either not Christian or Christian in name only.
Yeah.
The Christian, Christian families. Well,
there's so many reasons.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, they live up north.
Yeah. Well, this one lady
in the town.
This one lady, Clara, 88. She used to say, "I don't know why my family doesn't visit." And I says, "Clara, you're 88 years old, and your siblings are either older or a little younger, and they're in Tennessee. They're probably laying in bed too."
Yeah.
You know. So.
But that's not just old people too. You have that right down here. Well, not just at VA, but you have a different hospital where.
Oh yeah.
Where there's somebody that's 40 years old that's just laying. I went in a hospital, stayed there for 39 days in VA, and I was very fortunate to have friends come up to visit me. I had one guy. I went through some spiritual warfare during that time. And I had one deacon come up that I would have never in my life thought he would have done this. He'd come up every day. And I was I was saying, "I don't want to hear the Bible. I don't want to hear the Bible." I was writing out because I couldn't talk because my head's straight. And he would sit there every day and read the Bible. And I had verses that I had memorized for a long time. I couldn't say, I couldn't utter the first word of those verses because of the spiritual warfare somehow I was going through. And I crossed over that path because he came every day to read to me. And one day I just uttered out the words and they all started coming back out. And I crossed over and I got through my time. And it was because of people like him that come to visit me.
You watched around you until the walls fell.
Yeah.
You know, you heard of the silent majority, right? Not minority, but majority. You know, when we talk about accounts, we don't put that account, look what I did. Because, you know, if you do something, do it unto the Lord. Don't, you know, if you're looking for a pat on the back, you know, sometimes you have to go and get a foot in the back. Not a pat on the back. You know, because what we do it unto the Lord, not unto ourselves.
Yes.
But if it becomes a burden on somebody else because you did something, what did you do? You didn't do nothing, but made it put a burden. And those people, like that guy, and other, you look at Mother Teresa and all the stuff that she's done and all that. I'm pretty sure she wasn't there looking at. Look what I did. No, you know, the anointing of what she did spoke more than what she did because she just did it unto the Lord. I mean, how many times, we have been doing ministry out there, homeless, this, that, whatever, we did something, and somebody comes up, hey, you remember, you helped me? I says, and you look at him and you try to play that, okay.
Big
hand. Yeah, all right. Yeah, and they say, oh man, well, thank you so much, you know, because of what you've done. Oh, I didn't do nothing. Who are you?
Yeah.
You know, so when we do it unto the Lord. We don't do it, we don't have the little tablet there writing down what we did. And but God knows exactly what we did and what we didn't do. Did you take care of that person that I sent in front of you? That went by you? You know? The other day I was, when I went to see Pastor Joe at the hospital. Well, I was walking out. As I was walking out of past the room, I saw a guy there. And then all of a sudden, God puts that glue on your feet. And you put that foot there, and then all of a sudden, bam. So I went back to that room that I saw a guy there and just prayed with him, you know? And that's it. I don't know the guy's name. He told me. I don't remember. I don't even remember all these names sometimes. But the point is that, you know, be obedient and available and ready to do the work of God. Because you know what? I don't care how good you sing in church. I don't care how much you play. I don't care how many scriptures you know, you can quote about verbatim. I went to Without Walls one time and Joyce Myers was there, and there was this other person that was there, and this person was doing the whole one book, whatever it was, and everybody it went, wow, that was great. Beautiful. They remembered everything. And then Joyce came up there and he said, man, that was beautiful, man. I gotta go into the index to find out where the books are sometimes, you know? And she got more of applause because that's being real. Thank God that this person's got the memory to be able to remember that.
Yeah.
But the reality is, we're not all like that. And we have to go, I don't care how long you've been in the Christian and reading your Bible, you gotta sometimes go back to the glossary where is Philemon? Philemon. He didn't say it.
Philippian.
Not Philippian, Philemon. Right? Is that, yeah.
But you know,
We got it. You, when you're out there and you're hearing people like that, you gotta rely on the Spirit, because Satan knows that scripture just as well as anybody else. And he can quote them just like someone off the top of their head, and he'll just push one or two words is all it takes.
You know, the
devil knows them too.
Huh?
The devil knows them too.
I said Satan.
Yeah.
That's why they quoted scripture to Jesus. They quoted it right back.
So, you know, we have to be. Now, people get mad at me.
I can understand. No.
And the reason they get mad at me is because sometimes I throw it back at your face. What are you doing with what God is giving you? And you can come up with every excuse in the world. Oh, I have to work. I have to do this. I have to do that. You know what? That's okay. You know, we all have to do that. But what are you doing with the gift and the talents that God has given you? What is he doing, you know? I mean, the last thing I would ever think is that I would be on a pulpit talking or preaching or doing something. The last thing I thought I ever do be doing coffee runs and giving coffee to the homeless and drug addicts at night, you know? I mean, I never thought of it. I'd be doing this. What am I doing in this homeless thing, you know, mission? These guys smell. They're disgusting. That's my thought before I did it. And it still is. Some of them are. I paid a guy $5 to go take a shower.
Dude, always remember, there for the grace of God go I.
Yeah, amen. And so, you know, the joy, I went to a place the other day, a guy, hey, Pastor Sam, I said, or Sam, whatever. And you know, hey, how you doing? Can't even know what it is. You know, you have to fake it, you know. But we got to talking, and then it came back to me who he was, you know. And so, the greatest joy that we have is the joy that we have ministered to those people out there. You know, I Schindler's List, I love that movie, especially the last one. If I would have sold this, how many more people, you know? And then, I don't know if that was the same guy, but I saw this thing on YouTube where this one guy and his wife were invited to this auditorium, and all these people were sitting around him. You know, and he didn't know he was there. They were doing something, and then all of a sudden, they told the story, you know, of what this gentleman did. And then all of a sudden, all these people stood up. Thousands of people stood up because of what he did.
Like on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, and it was beautiful because you know, and the families of those people. And there are kids that stood up because if you haven't done
would not that, have existed.
Yeah, they would not have existed. And guys, that's what God is giving us. If we do not take the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, that person dies. Where's that lineage of maybe they become Christians? You know? And God has gave us the greatest gift of all, and that's to share the gospel, share the love of Christ. And if we're not about his business, what are we doing? What are we doing? I don't care how much knowledge you have. You can quote all of it. Yeah, but if you ain't being about your Father's business, if people ain't getting saved because of you, or at least given the opportunity to share the gospel, you know? You know, this guy right here, he surprises me more every day.
He
does? He does, because he's really a nice guy. I didn't like him because of his mouth. But you know what? There's some wisdom in there, and he has a great heart. But see, I wouldn't have known that if I wouldn't have been working and spending more. He helped me at the Dream Center, but I couldn't stand him. And when he quit. I said, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah!" Then he quit. But I didn't know him. And my fault was that I didn't take the time to know him. But until now, I know him more. And I appreciate him. But he's still got that mouth.
Yep.
I knew as bad as it was.
Mark, not as bad as it was, right.
He's still working on me. The way he
not
thinks
as bad
I
as it
ought
was.
To be.
I just don't let it out.
There you go. I don't have to call you all near as much as I used to.
You know, you got those people like this guy here. I mean, he don't talk much.
Joe the teddy bear?
No, he doesn't talk.
He don't talk much, bear. But you know what? But he has a heart of gold, and he helps all the time.
Amen to that. That's proof of wisdom.
You know, and it's his heart. It's what God placed in him. And sometimes he, just because he was a Navy guy, he got that attitude sometimes.
Oh, Coast Guard. Oh, Coast Guard.
Whoa. He got that knife.
Coast Guard stabbed.
Yeah, I saw that.
Navy.
You know?
There's a difference between Navy and Coast Guard.
But, The thing is, you know, what we did, but yet, you don't know. You just, I remember, I don't know if you were there, LZ, at that time, when we opened, had the first service at the Salvation Army down at St. Pete, where that guy sang. Were you there with that guy sang? Remember, I'm all new to this, and what's the protocol? I'm always looking at protocol, and this man wants to, can I sing a song? And I'm looking around and said, what do I do?
Sam, coffee when you get a chance.
And I looked at Andy, because Andy was doing the music, and Andy said, I looked at him, because he's been saved and been in, I don't know. I said, well, let the guy sing. No, he's all. No, you can't.
Here. 1 second.
And when that man, he was a homeless guy, a gruff looking and all that. And I said, well, go ahead and sing. And when that man opened his mouth, the anointing of God was spread through all that, and everybody was in awe, and everybody was crying because this man must have been, I call it a setup. God set us because he put an angel in our midst. And that man sung, and man, there was tears. The Holy Ghost just came into that room. And again, I don't know none, right? And we had a conga line that day. Yay! You know? The Spirit of God was incredible. But you know what? It's good not to know.
Yeah.
It's good not to know what the protocols are, because in some protocols, some churches, you can't say nothing because this is the way we got it all planned. A person can't just come up and give a word. So, we have to be ready in season and out of season, not caught up in ourselves, not caught up in our inabilities of not to be able to say this or say that. Because God gave us a mouth, God gave us a heart, God, His Holy Spirit is in us. And it's not you, but it's the Holy Spirit that talks in you. And even this guy don't talk much. He don't talk much. But when he does, he abunds. You know, he's got some wisdom in there. You don't talk much. You sit here, you listen, What? You don't talk much. You know, but I get to know some of you guys a little bit, and there's something in there, believe it or not. There is. Just because you don't say nothing, but they only know that by relationship. Can I have some more coffee on?
Yes.
Through relationship. But with this thing here today, what was the question was, you know, what would is your job your calling? Is your job your calling? Just because you're a good mechanic or you're a good craftsman, is that your calling? You know, what did God call you to do?
The difference between occupation and calling.
Absolutely.
Huh?
The difference between occupation and calling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They can't overlap, but they're totally different.
Yeah, you can make them both work in the same environment.
I really believe, like brother here, our occupation gives us the opportunity to reach people.
It does.
That the pastors will never see.
They're right.
And, you know, so you're, you know, many, many years that people have asked me, well, why aren't you a pastor teacher? I said, because I go to places that the pastor teachers don't go. And it was a very interesting comeback from this, from that whole thought, because God loves people.
Yeah.
How does he get to those people where the others cannot go or will not go? And I understand that, you know.
I was talking to Sam. You know, now Sam don't talk much. You know, the electrician Sam that comes here.
Yeah.
He don't talk much. But you know, listening to him and you know, and hearing him, you know, he ministers to more people than like what you said. He's in people's homes, the electrical working, this and that, and they see the God, the goodness and the God in him. And he has an opportunity to share the gospel through what he does, you know. And so that's why it's important. We don't know. I don't know who, whatever. But I'm always hitting hard on that, because that's what God called us to do. That's to share the gospel, man. To tell stories of how he's done great and wonderful miracles in our lives, man. And I tell you what, and if we haven't done all those things, man, we sit around and we bore as all heck. It says, what are some of the blessings that comes when we discover our calling? What's some of the blessings that we receive when we discover our calling? Elsie?
I think you realize that you're not by yourself, that you got God right by your side to do anything he's ever called you to do. And not everything he calls you to do is easy, but it's worth it.
Amen. Amen.
I like that too.
How about you?
We're telling them about, we've been saying that God looked at with that heart now, and that's what you were saying. We don't know. Are we just walking and we live? Are we real? That's what you're saying. Are we real? A lot of times we don't have to be saying, are we real? Are we real? I'm saying that this is. But when I came out of alcoholism, when the Lord brought me out, there was one guy I never would have thought was, you know, being in that picture. And this guy, when I got sick, even over here the last time at Northside Hospital, he would come every day. He stopped drinking and went back to his family and everything. Now he has it. When I went through the bout with cancer, what I was going through here recently, and he has it too. But I can go to him and minister to him now. You could just see a hope, because he's weak now, but you see that hope when I went over there the other day. The hope, he just lit up when you get in there. But are we real? See, God just went from the heart. He knows, they know when you are in there. That's just like when I go to a different place and stuff, and the people, somebody that, you know, annoying them or something like that, I don't mind sitting beside them and talking to them. That's what, boy, that gives them freedom too, you see? Mm-hmm. That frees them up. So that's
okay. Their spirit can detect your spirit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be words. They feel it. There's something different about you. People look at you and they go, and I'll turn around and walk in the store and someone's looking at me. I'm just smiling.
That's the power of the Holy Spirit.
He talked to me. Well, you know, it's like, people aren't written, don't expect that.
You know, I've seen some people that they have invested money in lemon, sour lemon. And all you see them, wherever you see them, is like that. But you know what, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you walk in the room, and all of a sudden people turn.
Yeah.
They turn.
It should be
right?
Like that. It should change that.
Because the Spirit is in us. They're not looking at you, they're looking at the Spirit in you, and the Spirit that is in you is a reflection on your face.
Yes, sir.
On your face.
And the world
so some of us need to stand in the mirror and go,
practice.
Two, three.
Yeah, there you go. Let the joy of the Lord shine through.
Yeah, let it shine.
It takes 13 muscles to smile and 33 to frown.
Yeah.
That's wrong. I researched.
Which one do you use?
It only takes eight. It only takes eight to frown. It takes 13 to smile. That's why you got to exercise. I used to hear that too. Then I went research and it said, no, it only takes eight to drown your face. But it's true. When you say, people can see it in you if it's true in you.
When you think of Genesis, okay, and God walked with man. You know, I think a lot of times we get so, you know, the delight of you simply walking with God is His delight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just think of Genesis like that.
He's beating up in your delight.
It's just, it's a wonderful picture of the why God had created us. And don't forget that. And sometimes, you know, you think you're not doing something or anything. It's okay. God loves us, and He wants to walk with us. Yeah. You know, have you ever walked through the Valley of Baca? When you read that story, and man, dry bones, and, you know, it ain't a fun place. But you know what? God is with you all the way. So what is your choice when you walk through that Valley of Baca? My choice is to believe God and know Him in a better way, like Genesis talks about. And He walked with me in the cool of the day.
And share Him and make those dead bones come alive.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lady at Willard Park. I could never talk to her because she cuts me up one side down the other.
In Spanish or?
No,
in tongues. And mean as all heck, boy. She had that her cart. Woo, God.
That rattlesnake's nice and
tight. Did you feed her anyway?
Did you thank her?
I tried to.
Did you thank her?
Exactly. I couldn't get next to her.
I mean, did you just thank her for cussing you?
I was scared.
Did like you say thank you? She's probably trying to figure out what you're talking
angry
about.
Person.
About 6 months later or something like that, I'm at Denny's on the south side, and there's that lady, and I didn't recognize her. My friend told me that's that lady. I said, what happened? Somebody said something. You know, here's the deal. We're not all called to every individual.
Absolutely not.
But you know what? Because somebody was going to come in and say one word, and all of a sudden that person will turn back on.
Yeah.
You know? And, but what we are called to and appointed to is to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, we can do it in many ways. The best way is to, you know, to share gospel. Mm-hmm. But the many ways is to be their friend. We have a misconception on how to minister to people all the time. I think the best way that we can minister to somebody is through the love of Jesus Christ.
Befriend them.
Build that confidence with them. But we got, you know, we got guys that go out to the to do a ministry. They got 100-pound Bible with them. And they want to hit everybody with, you know, heel, pow, with this Bible. But, you know, and Bible thumpers have been the detriment to the gospel because they're trying to draw something down your throat. And show me your works, and I'll show you your faith. Show me your works, I'll show you your faith. Don't beat me up with the word, man. What are you doing? What are you doing? Just because you're coming out here, that's fine. That's wonderful, you know. But what? But what are you doing, really? I don't. You know, if you're not busy or doing something, volunteering at your church, then what are you doing? What do you go to church for? Just because you give your tithe, well, that's a good thing. Are you part of what's happening in your church? Are you volunteering? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? You know, if not, what are you doing outside? You know? So anyway, examine your call. Figure out what you're doing.
You know, some of the historical parts behind what you're saying, it didn't work with the Crusaders.
No.
You know? and a lot of blood was shed.
Set me your table.
You
know, I'm terrible with that. You already know that.
You know, I don't want to be a crusader.
It's fun watching you run around, though.
I want to be known that I love people.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right where they're at.
Well, he gave us directions on how to do it, but simply, when he said he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And at any given time, you should be willing and able to walk in that position. And you hear it said, you know, if you're going to share, we need to share the gospel, and every once in a while use some words. But that's not exactly how it came out. It's attributed to Francis of Assisi. But it says, if you're going to be walking in the gospels, you got to be willing to put words to share. So what he's saying there is, you can, you know, you can talk to people and share the gospel, but they got to see it in you. And you can talk, and if they don't see it in you, it's just empty words to them.
I remember when I was a teenager, we were in the gangs and all that, and this guy was supposed to be a social worker comes in and says, you shouldn't be smoking dope and blah, 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 all this stuff, right? So we walk outside. I went outside, and here he is, you know.
Come on. Really?
And he didn't share it. He did not share it. That was bad. Anyway. But the thing is, we're good in talking, and we hear it. And I'm not grabbing a pastor's nothing, but you know what? What you're talking up there, you better be living it. How many pastors do we know that throughout all the years, the 20 years that we've been here, have actually come and visit us? Very few. You know, very few. And to me, that's disappointing. Because I would want to know what my sheep is doing.